Good morning, everyone. Most of the time, I'll start off a message by asking you a question. And I'm going to do that again today. I want you to think about this. What is the most beautiful thing you possess? What is it? I'd like to go on and clarify that today. The most beautiful thing we have, the most precious possession in our care, is God's holy, righteous character. Now, some people can make a case that God's Spirit will rank right up there with it. And that could be. But I want you to think about something. When you're baptized and have hands laid on you and you receive God's Holy Spirit, are you instantly filled with God's holy, righteous character? God's character must be built and developed over time. You don't receive it instantly. That's one thing that God could not create by fiat instantly, is God's holy character in man. God gives us His Spirit to help us achieve that end. I believe that God's character, coupled with His Holy Spirit, is the most powerful tool we have in achieving God's kingdom and overcoming our adversary and the evil influence in this world. Modern man and his godless science knows nothing about character. If someone were to ask you to define character, what would you say? How would you put it into words? Well, according to the dictionary, character is a distinctive trait, quality, or attribute that pertains to behavior or personality found in a person or a group. Godly character can be defined as the ability to discern from right and wrong and voluntarily choosing right all the time. No matter what your situation, no matter what the predicament you may find yourself in, you always choose right if you have God's character. Someone once said that character is what you think, say, and do when you're in a room all by yourself and no one else will ever see or know. We in God's church have a variety of personalities. There's vehicle mechanics, there's retired government workers, there's social workers, retired truck drivers. We have a lot of different likes and dislikes. But the one thing that we should all have in common is God's holy, righteous character. Because that dwelling in each of us will define the character of this congregation. I'm rather proud of how we all react when someone new comes in, even for a visit. Could be another church member from New York or Florida or California. They're greeted with a loving, caring handshake, and they're made welcome. They're made to feel like they're part of this family. And in a sense, they are. They are. You can go anywhere in the world and join a congregation of God's people, and within 2 to 5 minutes, you'll feel like you've known those people the rest of all of your life. Not the rest of your life, but all of your previous life. You feel like you've known them for a long time because God's Spirit is present there. It's a marvelous feeling. I won't go into it, but there was a time when my wife and I moved to an area and we were rather shunned. We literally had to step out and force people to shake hands and talk to us. But it didn't take long. Many of those people changed because they were reprimanded by the minister because of their attitude. And when we left that area about 7, 8 years later, a lot of them cried when we left. They became very good friends, but it was not a good start. But that's only once in our many moves that has happened. The thrust of psychology today is to undermine our character. They want to do away with it. There is no right. There is no wrong. It is only what you believe. Even if our beliefs differ, I can say A is one. Somebody else can say Z is one. And according to modern psychology, we're both right. Wow. Have you ever heard of the I'm okay, you're okay syndrome? The college professors and psychologists back in the 60s and 70s came up with that. That's what it's talking about. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm right, you're right. As long as we don't come to blows over the difference. Brethren, that just is not true. It just isn't. God's way is right. Man's way is wrong when it does not concur with God's way. Man's way is wrong. But psychology wants to undermine that. By far, the hardest thing that God could do, and He did not do, was to build godly, righteous character in man at creation. And there was a reason for that. Let's look at the angels. Let's turn to Ezekiel 28. And we'll see something here that I think will give us an explanation. Ezekiel 28. Let's look at verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now we know that this king of Tyre is Satan the devil, who was once Lucifer, the great archangel that was at the very throne of God. His wings covered God's throne. No higher or more perfect being could have been made than Lucifer. But God did not give him holy, righteous character. We know what happened to him. He rebelled. Drop down to verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity or sin was found in you. Lucifer sinned. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. To make a long story short, Lucifer wanted to be God. Another scripture says he wanted to take God's place. But he literally wanted to dethrone God and become God himself. That's how greatly he sinned. God's supreme purpose is to reproduce himself in man. At the outcome, man will have God's holy and righteous character. But we do not have it completely as of yet. When Christ returns and God's government is set up on this earth, and if we're accepted into the family of God at that time, we will become spirit beings in the family, and then we will have perfect, godly, righteous character. I know I'm using that term over and over again, brethren, but it's very important that we understand what I'm talking about today. God wants to know that when we become members of His spirit family, that He can trust us for all eternity. He could not trust Lucifer. And until we become spirit, then there is that little shadow of doubt. But see, that's where we come in. We take God's Spirit and we work with it and we mold and we're shaped by it and we develop that character over time. Consistently, every waking moment of every day, we have to be working on developing God's character so that we can stand with Christ when He establishes God's kingdom on this earth. In order to be part of that family, we must develop that character. God wants to give us everything, brethren, the entire universe, all of the universes that are out there. I don't think scientists, astronomers even have the tip of the iceberg when they look in through their telescopes. When I was driving on the road, I had an occasion, and my wife was with me. We were down in northeast Arizona. We had just left Phoenix earlier, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I was tired, and I found a wide spot on the shoulder of the road, and I pulled over, and I parked for the night. And I looked out, and it was a clear sky, dark, but the stars out there was just phenomenal. It was unbelievable. It was like you could reach up and grab a handful of them. That's what God wants to give us. All of that that you see in the night sky, all of those stars. And some of them are millions of light years away. In a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. That is a long way. A long way. And God wants to give us all of that. That's ours. If we mold and comply with His commandments and laws. Don't lose sight of that, brethren. Don't lose sight of what God wants to give us. The only way to achieve the kingdom of God is to develop that character that He wants to see in us. There is no other way to reach that end. None. Well, how do we build godly character? That's the next question. How do we build it? Let's go to 2 Samuel 12. story about David. I'm sure you all have read this. The setting is shortly after David was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, and told him about his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. The child that Bathsheba had conceived by David, Nathan said would die. And he did. 2 Samuel 12, let's read verse 16. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. David had a big change of heart. Big change of heart. Down to verse 20. After David found out that the child had died. So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. So how do we build that godly character? If you read about David here and in the Psalms, it gives us a great insight as to how we should conduct our lives. Have you heard of prayer? What about study? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth," which means you have to know what God has recorded in this book. So we pray, we study, we meditate, we fast, as David did. But brethren, there is one more thing that's extremely important that we must do. When we pray and we study and we learn what God has recorded for us in this book, we must properly apply that knowledge in our life. Because you can read and study till Christ returns, but if you don't apply that knowledge in your life, what good does it do you? What good? What have you learned? Because this whole book is replete with instruction after instruction in proper application of God's Word. Why did God give it to us if He didn't want us to learn it and use it? It would be a useless book. But it is the most important book that was ever created. We have to know God well enough that we will obey Him in every situation. Well, what happens if we do not attain that character that God wants us to have? What happens then? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, the New Testament. Paul gives us some instruction here. First Corinthians 6, we will begin in verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Very plain, very clear. If we do not build God's righteous character, we will not be in the family. It's just that simple. It goes on to list some of the traits of the unrighteous. The very last part of verse 10, it says, those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Characterless people will not inherit eternal life. God will not have them in His family. Now, when I say characterless, I mean God's character. Because you know as well as I do, there's a lot of characters out there in that world. A lot of them. We run into them every day. Character building is law-abiding, brethren. We're developing God's character. We will obey His laws and commandments. God wants to know beyond any doubt that we're going to obey all of His commandments and laws for all eternity. He wants to see that in us. Without exception, all of His commandments. God wants us to be predictable. A sinner, a person that is sinning, is not predictable, and they're not law-abiding. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Excuse me. Proverbs 13, we'll read one verse here. Verse 15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. A person that is sinning, not law-abiding, is going to have a hard time in life. Well, you can say, what about Donald Trump and all his billions? What about all the rest of the billionaires that know nothing about God's truth? Well, they may have their fortunes now, but what will they have in the kingdom when we inherit all the universes? Everything that God has created. When we get that, what are they going to have? Okay? Are they going to be on the outside wanting in? Will they get caught up in the great Gehenna fire? Some of them probably will. Because they do not have the right character that God is looking for in His family. We bring calamity upon ourselves when we are not obedient. Brethren, can we fool God by putting on a facade, pretending that we're righteous on Sabbath morning for 2 hours? Let's turn to Numbers 32. Numbers 32, verse 23. It says, but if you do not do so, talking about coming into compliance with God and keeping His laws, obeying Him, if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Very plain. Be sure your sin will find you out. God knows even our thoughts, brethren. We won't turn there, but you can read that in Psalms 94, verse 11. The Eternal knows even the thoughts of man, that they are futile. God knows even our very thoughts. We live with the result of how we live our life. We have to live with that. We cannot break God's law without a penalty. We cannot live or keep God's law properly keep without God's Spirit and without developing God's holy, righteous character. All of life's real long-lasting blessings comes from having God's Spirit, that holy, righteous Spirit in us. Matthew 5:48. I won't turn there. You know what it says? Be you therefore perfect, or become perfect, as God in heaven is perfect. Instructions from Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Become perfect, perfect in character, perfect in every way that we can stand with Him when He establishes God's government on the earth. Something else that we can do to help build that character is ask God to strengthen our character so that it will come into alignment with His. We need God's help. Even though we have His Holy Spirit, we need Him actively working in our life to build that character. Let's look at what David says. Psalms 51. This will be our last scripture. Psalms 51. Now this has been said that it is the prayer of David after the child that Bathsheba had by him died, when he repented. Very profound. It's a chapter that I turn to often in my study. Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. In Matthew 6, the sample prayer that Christ gave the apostles, it says to confess your sins. That's what David is saying right here. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Verse 4, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Does God ever give us a punishment we do not deserve? I don't think so. I don't think so. Drop down to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast or an upright spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You want a formula for helping to achieve God's holy, righteous character? It's right here. It's right here. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Contrite heart. A heart that has been broken and beaten down and totally submissive to God. That's what the word contrite means. Humble, beaten down, subject to God's every word. Ask God to form His character in you. God's holy, righteous character should be the central core, the substance of our being. Verse 19, Psalms 51. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. And I'll end right there. If we come into compliance with God, and we have a broken and a contrite heart, then God will be pleased with that. Brethren, what does God see in our character? What does He see in your character? What does He see in mine? Is it something that He's pleased with? Holy, righteous, godly character is the most precious possession you have.